Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Welcome to Earth.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Bomb. James Bond.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
Your move, creep.
Get off my plane.
Get your ass off.
I feel mean.
Hello and welcome to the Everything Action Cast week of October 14th, 2013. I'm your host Zach, and joined this time we have Chris.
And only me!
Yeah! We survived Comic-Con, Chris.
Yeah, we did. No survivors!
Survived the hordes of nerds. And Joe's actually moving right now, so hopefully he'll be on next week and we can talk about some stuff. But yeah, just me and Chris tonight, and we'll talk about, we're going to get into like what we saw and did at Comic-Con later in the show. Got into some fun adventures. And but first, we'll kick it off with some news. I don't think, there wasn't a whole lot. I mean, we didn't have a podcast last week, but I don't think there was too much news to talk about. There were a few trailers that were worth talking about. So first one is the trailer for Hercules, The Legend Begins, which is one of two Hercules movies going to be out next year. This one stars Kellan Lutz. The other one is going to be Hercules, The Thracian Wars, which is starring The Rock, looking like just like The Rock. If you saw The Rock in like Fast 5 or Fast 6, like, and you couldn't imagine he getting any bigger. Apparently, like, he just like roided up even more for Hercules. But yeah, this one is Kellan Lutz. Oh man, who else, Chris?
Everyone who's not in Hercules Legend Begins.
Yeah. Oh, Scott Adkins is the evil king.
Yeah, Scott Adkins, the dude from Spartacus.
Yeah, like Spartacus, Liam McIntyre. and this one is directed by Rennie Harlan of Cliffhanger and Die Hard 2. And Cutthroat Island, and numerous Bird Notice episodes. And it's weird, because it's like, it seems like, for like most of the trailer, like Hercules doesn't have any powers. He's just like a weird, like, gladiator guy.
Just some guy.
Yeah.
And then, but later on, he does get powers.
Like, he rips some columns down and stuff, yeah. Breaks some chains.
He breaks chains. He, like, shoots lightning bolts.
Does he?
Do you see that?
I don't remember him shooting lightning at all.
He like gets a whip that shoots lightning during like one like scene near the end. So he gets powers, and they're just really like out of nowhere. But he can still be hurt. Like he can still get like scraped and shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's weird. Like his brother, I guess, is supposed to marry like this princess, and then he falls in love with the princess, and then Scott Adkins is like, "Oh, you gotta get out of here." And then, like,
I thought Scott Adkins was the rival king.
I don't. The trailer is so weird. Just like there's no like narration or anything. Just like scenes happen in the trailer. It's just like, is this the whole movie? I don't know what's happening. Like it's very like it feels like it's like I don't know if we're just used to like trailers or just like lots of like edits and like smash cuts and stuff. But this one's just like scenes going. There wasn't any music or anything. It seemed like there wasn't any like background music or anything either. Like some weird like heavy metal or something to like accompany it.
It didn't have that 300 soundtrack. Yeah. That's what's missing.
It should be like da 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 da. Like it's and then like cut it, like edits of like Hercules like smashing someone and, like da 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 da.
Yeah, it's just a drum. So
and then some Portland some catchphrase of like. Feel the legend or something. Like the legend
and
begins.
And then a lot of empty threats.
Yeah. And Scott Adkins doing like karate.
Huh.
Yes, yeah, so I don't like it's come so this movie and the one with The Rock are both coming out next year. So I have it's gonna be a Olympus Has Fallen, White House Down sort of situation going on. Which I feel like this one's gonna be the White House Down of the two. And meaning it's going to be, like, super cheesy and watered down and kind of awful.
Hmm.
Whereas I think I'm hoping the one with The Rock is going to be more like the Olympus Has Fallen, where it's just like old school action, gritty, R-rated, awesome.
I mean, it's great to have more action movies that like are going to be.
It's also weird.
Gloriously violent.
It's also,
you know,
weird that, like, Pompeii is coming out next year, too.
Yeah, I forgot that's throwing a tat in the ring.
Yeah. Which is from, Paul. It's like, all these, like, kind of, like, I would say schlocky directors, like, are just, like, the new genre for them is, like, ancient Rome or ancient Greece. Because, like, Pompeii is directed by Paul W.S. Anderson.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think Hercules Legend Begins is in March of next year. Yep. So other trailers came out. I was actually just looking on our site, Chris. We didn't have a podcast this week, so we didn't get to talk about these other two trailers that came out. Did you see the trailers for I, Frankenstein or Jack Ryan Shadow Recruit?
I did see I, Frankenstein, but I didn't see the Jack Ryan one.
Yeah, it came out actually the day after Tom Clancy died. They had the trailer for Jack Ryan.
Huh.
And it looks pretty solid. It looks like a pretty like solid like Bourne style thriller.
Well, it's Chris Pine in a suit.
Yeah,
from what I
versus,
see
versus Kenneth Branagh as like a evil Russian who wants to like blow up the U.S.'s like financial system.
Hmm.
But yeah, let's talk about I, Frankenstein for a second, because that was like, they showed that kind of, it was at San Diego Comic-Con, not New York Comic-Con. First trailer for it. It's coming out, I think, like the first or second week of January, which is always a good sign.
It's good. They got no competition.
Yeah. But yeah, it stars Aaron Eckhart as Frankenstein's monster, a.k.a. Adam. And I think it's from the producer's Underworld, and it's very clear that's from the producer's Underworld, because it's basically Underworld with Frankenstein. And what the war is between, because it's a secret war that could, like, end humanity, just like Underworld. And it's, like, gargoyles, and I can't tell who the other people are.
Like, demon?
Demon
angels?
People. And then, like, Bill Nighy wants to, like, create, like, an army of Frankenstein monsters as, like, super soldiers to, like, fight gargoyles or something. I don't know what's going on.
My thing is, like, can Bill Nighy not be an evil lord in these movies?
I wonder if he has his face, like, cut in half, like, in Underworld, and then somehow come back.
The most anticlimactic battle.
Yeah. And I guess, like, and then Frankenstein's monster's been, like, wandering around for, like, thousands of years and, like, learns, like, martial arts and, like, learns how to use, like, these, like, crazy knives and, like, basically, like, heal himself, I guess. Or he's, like, a Highlander because he can't get hurt or killed.
Well, I think, like, over years, he, like, heals? It's weird. He went from, like, freaky monster to, like, sort of just tattooed.
Yeah. He's, like, the CW when they do like Beauty and the Beast or something, or like
yeah.
or whatever, it's just like, oh my god, he's so disfigured. He has like one scar that you can barely see.
A very light visible scar.
Yeah.
People are like, oh my god, monster.
He's so it's hideous. Like,
it's like, everyone's an asshole.
Yeah.
I just, again, I'm more distracted by Bill Nighy being like another evil lord in a not underworld setting.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, I'll see it eventually, just not in theaters. Like, I have no urgency to run out and watch this.
I mean, obviously I'll probably see it because I work in a movie theater, I get it for free, so I'll probably see it and get a review of it, but I'm hoping it's going to be, like, stupid fun and not just, like, stupid and awful.
I would. Oh, Zach, how wrong can you be?
Yeah. I don't, like, I saw, like, Priest in theaters, and that was okay.
Priest was actually, like, butchered from what I read about the original version, so, I mean, this is kind of like an original take on it, so it's cool to see that. Like,
well, still, I think this is based on, like, a graphic novel or something. I, Frankenstein.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought this was purely original. They're like, yeah, let's change it up a bit. Not like, hey, let's rip off a comic that no one's read.
Yeah. Yeah, just weird. Like he's not, like Frankenstein is living like training Highlander style with like random like martial arts experts or something probably over the years. Like he's like he's got a pair of like glaives or like you know like Riddick style glaives that he uses or like whatever those like Ulocks or whatever those weapons are.
They're like knives, but curved not like a knife.
And you hold it, and basically like you punch daggers. With them, yeah.
Yeah, so let's just see what's going to happen, because the first trailer just made it seem like it's awesome being Frankenstein in the modern day.
Yeah.
Up until the Stone Angels, and then it's, like, not fun anymore.
Yeah. So, other trailers. We got the first trailer for Ambushed, which we're going to give away on the site in about a month. So, check the site for that. We're going to have two copies to give away of it. But it is Randy Couture versus Dolph Lundgren with Vinny Jones sort of in the background doing evil things.
Vinny Jones just, like, kicking people when he can.
Yeah. So it's like, yeah, it's like Vinny Jones is, like, an evil drug dealer. Dolph Lundgren's a DEA agent trying to, like, take him down. And then Randy Couture shows up as, like, a corrupt, dirty cop who's, like, taking money from Vinny Jones. And Vinny Jones is like, oh, you better stop this DEA agent from catching me or you're going down with me. And then it's just like Dolph Lundgren versus Randy Couture for like next hour or so. Did you see this trailer, Chris?
Nope.
Okay.
But we talked about it, so.
I mean, it's all right. I mean, it seems like if you've seen like what was it, Hijacked, or like One in the Chamber, or any of those, like it's. I mean, it's Anchor Bay, so if you've seen any of like their recent movies, you know what to expect. Seems like it should be pretty solid. It seems like there's gonna be at least like one pretty awesome fight between Dolph Lundgren and Randy Couture. So it's gonna be weird seeing Randy Couture as like the bad guy too. He's like just like seems like he's like constantly hungover, like he's a 5 o'clock shadow, like evil, dirty cop.
I mean, Randy Couture's got that look like he could be a jock. I mean, it's kind of cool that you see him in most movies where he's a hero.
Mm-hmm.
But he definitely has an 80s, like, thug, like muscle hire. Yeah, like, he looks just like someone who hires him to, like, beat people up.
Yeah.
Again, Randy Couture is a very nice guy, I imagine, in real life. But the guy looks like hired muscle all the time.
Mm-hmm. And so, last trailer, actually, we probably shouldn't talk about, just came out today, on Wednesday we're recording this, the trailer for Nonstop. Did you see this, Chris?
Yeah, you know this reminds me of? It's that Jodie Foster movie where she, like, has a kid, but no one believes her, and she's looking for a kid.
God, what the hell was that name of that? Flight Plan?
Flight Plan, yeah, this reminds me of Flight Plan, except
with Liam Neeson, like, kicking everyone's ass.
And, like, trying to figure it out, not just cry about it, like, it was a flight plan.
Yeah, so basically, what's going on is that Liam Neeson is an air marshal, and he starts getting these, like, weird text messages from someone claiming he's going to, like, murder a passenger on his plane every 20 minutes, and then basically he gets, like, somehow this weird, mysterious person, like, makes it seem like Liam Neeson is the hijacker. And so everyone's just like, oh, we gotta stop him. And, like, they send, like, jets in to stop the plane. And so, like, Liam Neeson has to figure out who this guy is and stop him before, like, they blow up the plane. And, I mean, it's basically, like, I mean, there's been, like, there's, like, a run there, like, in the, like, sort of the mid-90s of, like, Passenger 57, Air Force One, Executive Decision, all these other, like, Die Hard on a Plane movies.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is like basically those with Liam Neeson. So I'm on board.
Yeah,
I am on board.
The only part I'm kind of like, huh, was the fact that Liam Neeson's a U.S. Air Marshal, even though he's blatantly not American.
I mean, you can be an Air Marshal if you're not American. It's not like President, Chris. It's not like you're.
I know. I just find it weird where it's like, hey, I'm Scottish and I'm an Air Marshal. Like,
it's like,
whoa.
It's like, how is Jason Statham a cop in America, Chris?
But no,
how is he like the most American DE agent ever in that Homefront movie? Where he's literally wearing the American flag in the poster.
Again, that one we exclude most Jason Statham movies. He's usually a special agent.
How is Arnold Schwarzenegger like the everyday American in all of his movies?
Yeah, that one freaks me out too.
I'm just a white collar cop to do my job. I live in Kansas.
Most of these were like they're blatantly foreign, but they're Americanized.
Yeah.
Like some Arnold movies they explain it, some movies they don't. This is definitely one of them where it's like Liam Neeson is just him. This is the best he can do.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not discrediting the guy, but I'm just like, okay. At least, I can understand if this is like in the UK and this happens. Why does it have to be America? You know, like why couldn't it be like a UK plane? And that make way more sense.
I have absolutely no issue with Liam Neeson having an accent. I don't know why that, like, it's like, that throws off the entire movie for you, Chris.
It does. I don't know. Like, why does it have to be an American plane that gets hijacked? Why can't it be, like, a UK plane? And then have Statham and Liam Neeson, like, be, like, partners.
Okay.
That would play out so much. Well, I feel like this is,
I can't believe, like, that's, like, everything that, like, after everything else that's in the trailer of, like, some sort of bomb, and then, like, the entire, like, Liam Neeson's, like, flying through the cabin because, like, it's getting, like, blown up or, like, crashing, and it's, like, the most unbelievable thing is, like, oh, why does he have an accent?
Well, no, it's cool to see, like, the plane do dips and everyone's getting affected by it, because not too many movies do that. But, like, that's generic action. I don't mind that. That part, the accent part just throws me off a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
That's just weird, Chris.
Whatever, man.
It's Liam Neeson kicking ass. That's all you need to know, basically.
Right, so my grip about it is just like, hey,
It's not like he's a cowboy or anything, Chris, you know?
Like, well, not anymore.
Guy. This river is 40 or 50 fathoms long.
I mean, just like, do you remember when he was like a Russian submarine guy in the K-9 Widowmaker?
Yeah, well, everyone was horrible in that movie.
See what I mean? You see what I mean? I'm forgiving him for that.
Yeah, I mean that's obvious because it's like, none of you are Russian. Like, Harrison Ford, you are not Russian. So, but I mean, this one's just like, okay, it's Liam Neeson. That's all we need to know. And also, Julianne Moore is in it, and
for no reason she's in.
I'm gonna guess that she is like the hijacker or like working for the hijacker. That's gonna be the big twist in the movie.
Yeah, it's kind of obvious she's really directly involved.
Like she's like she's just like giving, she's like wearing like just like giving all the like shifty looks the entire time of the trailer.
And she looks like she's crying a lot, and like, that's what I mean. Like it's so generically action. It's like, you want to keep this a secret? You don't show Julianne Moore.
It's gonna be like, he's gonna like, the person texting him is gonna be like, go in like this like back, like go in the maintenance area, or the baggage area, or the plane, and then it's gonna be like, I'm back there, give my money or something, and then he's gonna go back there, and then it's gonna text like, turn around, and like Julianne Moore with a gun.
So we spoiled the whole movie already.
I'm just guessing because we've seen action movies before.
I know, and I've seen Flight Plan. It's blatantly, this is the kind of thing, the same setup where it's like, oh, you have my daughter, or oh, you have my
money. Like Air Force One, where it's like,
oh, you're the inside.
Yeah, for no reason.
Even though at that point in the end of the movie, they figured it out, or you could just shut your mouth and just live.
Yeah, but yeah, I'm on board. So it's coming out in February. Basically, I mean, Liam Neeson basically owns like the early part of the year, pretty much every year since Taken came out. So it's been like the Liam Neeson millennium or whatever. It's like millennium, but with Liam Neeson every year.
I don't know. He only gets beat by superhero movies, so he might try a running start, but then he's gonna probably get knocked out by like something. You know,
there's gonna be no superhero movies in February, Chris. They start like superhero movies are like in the summer, so.
Well, I'm just saying, like,
like May.
I'm pretty sure something. What?
Like they start in like May. Like you're gonna like Cap 2 in May.
Okay. Well, I figured that I thought there was a movie that came out in February. I would possibly knock it out, but I could be wrong.
I don't really know. Like we don't like the schedule for like next year's movies really as much as like 2015. Like we know every movie coming out in 2015. We don't know too much about what's coming out next year.
Just surprise hits.
Oh, there's the Well, Pompeii's like the week before it. And then
No.
There's like Almanac, which is like the sort, I think it's Michael Bay's producing it, but it's like a found footage, like time machine sort of time travel movie. Which you haven't seen any trailers or anything for, but they just like it's coming out the same week. And then 300 Rise of the Empire is the week right after Nonstop. So that's probably what you're thinking of, Chris.
That's what I'm thinking. I've been talking a lot of like blood and sand, or sandals and blood, whatever the terminology we came up with last time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, pretty much any Liam Neeson movie at this point is like, it's like a statement movie. Like, if there's a Liam Neeson movie coming out, I mean, pretty much, I think it's pretty guaranteed we can go see it.
I don't know. I'm certainly starting to hate Taken 2, so that's another reason.
I mean, Taken 2 was pretty awful, but I mean, like, Statham had Parker this year, that was awful, so.
Okay. Like, but eventually, there's a few duds.
Yeah. Have you seen Unknown?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that was.
That was awful.
That's pretty awful.
Like, the fact that that movie was like, hey, this is Taken, like, 1.2, and you're like, this is terrible. Like, this is nothing like Taken. Everyone should be ashamed of themselves. Only best part was the end, where,
they blew up January Jones.
January Jones. Spoiler alert.
She's like,
but,
which is hilarious, because he has, like, the same, like, stupid, dumb look on her face, where she's like, opens the cabinet, and then the bomb opens.
Even in death,
it's like the bomb, and she's like, huh?
So, again, at least that scene happened.
Yeah. I love that, like, Liam Neeson like, just kept flashing back to, like, the same three scenes every time he had, like, flashbacks.
Oh, my God. The freaking, going back to, like, the shower scene.
Yeah. And then, like, the twist of, like, oh, my God, what really happened? No, but, I mean, but Taken was great. The Gray was great. So, I'm fully on board with, like, Liam Neeson action hero.
I just like it when it's appropriate. I don't like it when it's just, like, out of nowhere.
Well, it's crazy because, like, it's just, like, it used to be, like, Liam Neeson, like, Academy Award winner Liam Neeson, and now it's just, like, Liam Neeson is breaking necks.
Hey, I remember Liam Neeson in Les Miserables, like, the second remake of it back in the 90s, mm-hmm. So... That was, like, action-y, but it wasn't, like, running a car into shit.
Rob Roy or
Darkman.
New York. Yeah, Darkman. I mean...
He did Darkman, like, right after Liam.
He's done, like, action-y stuff, but now he's, like, fully action hero. Like, basically, like, if Jason Statham says no, like, Liam Neeson's... It's like, all right, Liam Neeson's on. You could put Jason Statham in pretty much every Liam Neeson movie, and it makes sense, probably.
I mean, that's what that like Patriot one in the South is like.
Homefront,
yeah.
Well, it was originally Stallone, so
a little interchangeable, a little.
So anyway, so that's it for trailers, and then. I think only other news, unless you saw something else, Chris, but Marvel announced that they're going to be doing 5 more TV shows.
Jesus, like, they figured they'll wait for, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to kind of...
I mean, things are doing okay. It hasn't been doing, like, it's not, like, the huge hit I think they thought it would be.
It wasn't printing money.
Yeah. I mean, it's been pretty solid as far as episodes go. I mean, it's been fun, but it hasn't been, like... mind-blowing or anything. But yeah, I guess they're preparing some sort of, like deal, and they're shopping it around to, all the networks, and then also, like cable and, like, stream, like, Amazon and Netflix as well. So, like, it's basically whoever pays up gets, this entire, like, package of shows. And, one of them is probably the Agent Carter show, which we saw. You saw the one shot on Iron Man 3, and then also saw her in Cap the first one. And the other ones are just like, who knows what they could be. I think obvious one would be a Punisher show.
Finally.
Because, I mean, it's got to be something where it's like, that's not like super like effects heavy or like that they couldn't really afford to do. Like, Punisher would be super easy to do every week. Just like, Frank goes around, he has a target he wants to take down, and he takes it down. And you can throw, like, Microchip in there and stuff, and, like, have it just be, like, kind of, violent burn notice or something, where it's just, like, every week there's, like, a new target.
Well, I kind of wanted it to be, like, a Dexter-type show, where, like, he plans and hunts and, like, kills his way up to this target.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know, like, do you have any other ideas, like, what they could do, Chris? Or what you'd like to see?
How about a sequel to Generation X? That was a really disappointment thing when that came out, back in 1993, I think.
Except they had the rights to X-Men. I don't think they do.
Yeah, I mean, no, not all. I was going to say, Generation X is, like, the byproduct of X-Men, so it's, like, the X-Men franchise is the X-Men franchise, mm-hmm. but there's so many, like, things they can kind of, like, loophole, mm-hmm. you know? It's like, I get the Avengers are Avengers, but, like, Mutant Academies are, like, another thing.
Yeah.
So.
What about, like, an Avengers Academy?
Or West Coast Avengers, yeah. where it's, like, all the people that they couldn't get, like, that's popular, that can fly around. It's all, like, the local West, the Californian group.
Mm-hmm.
And that's mostly, like, She-Hulk, I think. Because she did go to law school in California, but then she, like, has a law firm in New York.
Mm-hmm.
But then she lost her license. So, then they should stop lawyering.
They should do a She-Hulk show.
Where it's, like, her lawyering phase.
It's
where
just like, she was it's, just, it's like... It's like Gina Carano or something, they paint her green.
No. It's, like, she's the monster. So, no, actually, yeah, She-Hulk never transforms, so she'll just be her all the time.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of cool, where it's just, like, kind of weird CG
it's like
Gina Carano walking around.
It's like Ellie McBeal, but with She-Hulk.
There we go, like, that's a show.
It should be more like Boston Legal or something, where it's just, like, batshit insane.
It could be, like, Franklin and Bash.
Yes.
But, like, her partner is, like, a normal person, and mm-hmm. she's the weird one.
Or Suits.
Oh my god, I think they should just take things from the USA Network and just twist them Marvel style, where it's, like, Doctor Strange's house.
Yep.
Or, like,
Well, like, take, Punisher's burn notice, because, like, he goes around and, like,
clients,
and, like, he has, like, microchip and stuff.
Because the Punisher war journal, like, it read like a journal, so
yeah.
Michael Weston does the whole, like, hey, here's a tip, like,
yeah,
do
so
this.
Yeah, so like, the best way to kill a man with a knife is, like, stab him through the chest.
Like, oh, you don't want to chop him off at the limbs, you want to go for main arteries, and, like, weird factual stuff. It's actually, like, really useful, but, like, just the way they present it, it's like, wow, this is, I'm learning something.
Yep.
They should definitely do, like,
Dr. Strange would be, like, Royal Pains.
Oh my god, he consults, like, house to house for, like, weird psychic problems.
Yeah.
What was the one, like,
Shioka's suits, I'm trying to remember, like, they have white collar.
White collar was, She-Hulk.
Or no, Shioka's suits.
Okay, so what's white collar?
It's gotta be, like, maybe, like,
white collar and suits are, like, white collar and suits, like, are almost similar premises.
Kind of, except,
but white collar is like, hey, we have a crook that's
white
really
collar,
good.
White collar is basically Catch Me If You Can, the show.
Yeah. So, it could be Thunderbolts, because they were, like, all criminals.
Well, I was gonna say, like, Heroes for Hire.
Yeah, but they didn't have a criminal background.
Yeah, but they're solid crime stuff. It's like a duo.
But they were hired. They were the A-team.
Yeah.
But
I mean, you could do that pretty easy too, like a Heroes for Hire show.
Yeah, it's basically just like that weird what's that family show that was like on ABC that was like they were just blatantly rip off the Fantastic Four.
Yeah. I can't remember the name of the. I watched the entire thing. I don't even remember the name of the show now.
Don't worry, so did everyone else. But
poor Michael Chiklis.
Yeah, So yeah, I'm back being a superhero, and
about, like the last two shows he's been on have been like canceled.
It's the chickless problem.
Can't recapture that shield magic.
What's it? Okay, what's was it Unnecessary Roughness? Yeah. What? Who would be a good
There's like no superhero who's like consulting for like. Is Doc Samson? Or no, who's like the Hulk's like psychiatrist who got gamma radiated?
Doc Samson?
Yeah, Doc Samson. And him just like going around and like consulting people. or it could be like Sentry because he has like super like ridiculous like psychological problems. Like I think like Sentry is like agoraphobic or something.
I don't remember. I wasn't a big Centric fan.
Yeah, they basically introduced him in like World War Hulk is like, oh, let's go. We all forgot we have this basically Superman who's like afraid to come outside. If he doesn't go fight Hulk, then maybe we can stop him. I don't know. There's a ton of stuff they can do.
But I do like the idea of like taking. Like USA shows and just giving them a Marvel faceover, a makeover.
Mm-hmm. Or like TNT shows.
Oh my god.
USA shows, but like, I don't think they afford it. Like, if USA like won the rights to all these Marvel shows. I kind of would like to see them if HBO or like Starz or Cinemax or someone like got the rights and made like these like R-rated, like, a Marvel movie, like, Marvel shows.
Hey, man, Joe had a theory about having Marvel Knights, or the Marvel Max series being brought to life with, like, real violence and real gore.
Uh-huh.
And not just pussyfooting around the idea of, like, Punisher killing, like, not killing people. Like, I want him to, like, gouge someone's eyes out.
We can get, like, an actual good Blade show that doesn't start sticky fingers.
Was he the first Blade or the second Blade?
He was the... So... I think they did like the weird like direct-to-DVD movie, and then they made the show. And he was always like Sticky Fingers was always like the second Blade after Wesley Snipes.
No, but like they actually brought back. I think Wesley Snipes came back for like an episode or two as Blade.
Did he? Well, who the hell is Sticky Fingers?
No, there was like three Blades in that series.
Was there? I've only seen like parts of like the pilot.
Yeah, there was a couple different Blades, I remember. It was like...
It's like Ghost Rider, where like... Wesley Snipes is like the original.
Well, no, it's like... Oh man, like,
kid, you don't know about... I gotta help you kill these suckheads.
No, Sticky Fingers was the main Blade.
Yeah.
I think like there was another, like they halfway through, like they changed out the Blade.
Well, only lasts like three episodes or something, right? On Spike.
If I remember, yeah, I just, this is back when, like, Spike was just, like,
experimenting.
Oh, man.
It's like, we have 10 hours of CSI reruns, and then we have to, like, figure out what we're gonna do for the other 2 hours.
I mean, Blade the Series was not a bad idea. I just remember David Goyer was part of it, and then it's like, he just kind of, like, walked away.
Yeah, but, I mean, they got back the rights to Blade, they got back the rights to Ghost Rider, they got back the rights to Punisher, Daredevil. I mean, they have a ton of stuff they could do.
Hmm.
If they did, like, an actual, like, awesome Ghost Rider show, that'd be pretty cool. Maybe, like, Danny Ketch Ghost Rider. They could bring back some, like, the insane villains from, like, the Danny Ketch run in the 90s, where it was, like, there's this character named Suicide. Who's like this black guy who like wanted to kill himself, and then he basically made a deal with the devil, and then like Mephisto made him like the only way he could die is like if Ghost Rider killed him, and then he like ran around with this like mesh shirt and like basically like dance like gay dance club clothes, and basically was like Ghost Rider kill me, and Ghost Rider's like shut up man I'm fighting people right now. Yeah. Anyway, so. We'll have to see what comes with that in the near future. Was there anything else news-wise you saw, Chris, we should talk about?
Not that I remember. Nothing really stands out right now.
there was like a first look at like Avatar Land at Disney.
Yeah, not interesting.
And they might do like a Lord of the Rings Land. I guess there's rumors that like they're talking about Peter Jackson might do like a Lord of the Rings Hobbit Land at Disney World.
Where are they? Like, there's not so much room in Disney. What are they gonna do? Like,
buy?
Like they bought
steamroll like Animal Kingdom? Well, I think Avatar Land's going into Animal Kingdom as part of like it's like the new land of Animal Kingdom.
Now it's weird that Avatar. You remember the message? The messages in Avatar is like, be respectful of the land, don't be wasteful. Yeah. Like, putting this in Disney World is like the opposite of all those messages. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, oh my god.
Buy this coat. It's like the Wonders of Pandora, sponsored by Coke.
Drink Coke.
Yeah.
Or else we kill an avatar.
Which is the crazy thing is, like, Harry Potter Land, apparently, that was, like, the part of the deal, was, like, there's no licensed products anywhere in that part. Because J.K. Rowling was like, you cannot have any, like, there can't be, like, Coke machines or anywhere, because it ruins the illusion of being in that part. So, like, you can buy butterbeer, and you can buy, like, weird like Harry Potter candies and stuff, but you can't buy any like actual products like Coke or Hershey or anything like that.
I imagine that to get around that, they just have to introduce like another name to the same product.
Yeah,
but this isn't Coke. It's like it's deer blood.
It's Cuckoo Cola.
Yeah, it's Wizard Cola.
Yeah, Dragon Cola. Dragon's blood.
Yeah, like weird things like that. Yeah. That's how you get around that.
It's like medieval times where they call like everything like dragon, even though it's like chicken. It's like here's a dragon egg and a dragon wing and a dragon rib.
This looks like a weird dragon sandwich. Yeah. That's a burger. Like.
And then here's a Pepsi. Alright, so anyway, let's move on to our new agenda for the week. And our pick of the week is Pacific Rim.
Yeah, surprise.
I think probably for each of us, probably like definitely in our top 10. I'm gonna say probably top 5 for me this year so far. What do you think, Chris?
I don't know. I gotta do the ranking in my head. I haven't done it. I know it's in my top 10, but some of the parts really are stupid that I can't get over. Like the wall, the robots that come out of, that are so fucking dumb.
Or it's like. Well, I think that's part of like the sat, like it's supposed to be like a joke or like a satire of like, oh man, the government spent so much money on this wall when we have like these robots who are actually killing the monsters. And then they like blow through the wall in like 2 seconds.
Which again, they're like, hey, we should build a wall again. Yeah. It's a good movie,
the entire movie could be awful, and if it still had like the Hong Kong fight. It would still be one of the best movies of the year. Because that is one of the best fight, like one of the best action sequences of this year, and maybe all time. I don't know. It was pretty amazing.
In terms of martial art movies with giant robots, like we only have like Godzilla movies to compare that to, like awesome big monster fights that look fluent. Mm-hmm. You know, it looks nice. I don't like the fact that I think. What, the effects studio that did this was, like, hardly affected by its box office losses.
Well, it's done gangbusters. It's like the number one movie internationally, I think. I think it made, like, $300 million over, like, internationally. Plus, like, whatever, like, $100 million or whatever it made here. So, I mean, the first couple weeks it was out, it didn't do, like, it wasn't, like, an immediate hit, but then when it went, like, international, it did, like, pretty awesome. So, and they're talking about Pacific Rim 2, so. I guess they're like, writing the script, like, Game of Thrones are, like, writing the script right now for Pacific Rim 2.
I know. I'm excited about that, because it's, like, I really hope they can get, like, kind of not fall in that pit where they need to explain every goddamn thing.
Mm-hmm. No, they just, like, come out the gate and be like, giant robots!
Hey, look, this weird organic robot.
Yes, the half Jaeger, half kaiju. We made mecha kaijus.
We made a sin against God.
Yeah. Oh. Ron Perlman created, like, mecha gods, like, mecha kaijus.
Which I thought would be a more of an important part to the role based on the viral marketing of that.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't, you know?
You're just like, hey, Ron Perlman. It's a government horror movie. You have to be in it.
You gotta be in it, yeah.
So, also this week, we have The Heat, which is Sandra Bullock, Melissa McCarthy, buddy cop movie. I haven't seen it. Have you seen it, Chris?
No.
It looked pretty fun. I've seen a bunch of it just, like, at work, just wandering in and out of it. And it seemed pretty funny, so I'll probably check it out at some point. From, like, Redbox or something. We also have Vikings Season 1.
Ooh.
Which, did you see the whole thing, Chris? Or are you behind on that?
I'm a little behind. And I kind of got caught up in all the things.
Mm-hmm.
But I liked it.
Yeah, I think you said, it before, like, PG-13 Game of Thrones, basically.
Yeah, like, it's very entertaining for, like, an A&E show, I'm surprised.
Yeah, well, History Channel show.
And it's, like, historically, like, you learn a few things. It's nice that it's, like, it stays within that realm.
Because
they could definitely take this show, like, a 180, and it's like, hey, a dragon, you know?
Yeah.
Or, like, have
Thor
any kind of weird...
or something.
Yeah, so...
Or, like, trolls.
Trying to be like kind of realistic,
yeah.
and kind of like gritty,
mm-hmm.
And it doesn't get too like comical how bloody it gets, you know.
No, I mean definitely some like really awesome, solid fight scenes and stuff, and interesting characters. There's like, I think like the fan favorite character is like Floki, who's like the crazy shipbuilder guy.
Yep, who like just like, oh, give me some wood and I'll build shit.
Yeah, I built this new ship. He's also like this like insane like wild card because like you never know when he's just like kill everyone or like not do, like if he's gonna be like
another thing is if you had to describe a 16th century meth head, that's who I think.
Mm-hmm. He's like chewing on that like moss or something or whatever they had in like Norway.
Or they're like just willing to rape things like hey vagina like hey, we should put our dick in it,
which is, that's kind of toned down in the show for obvious reasons but
you know it's like they have the dialogue of it a lot and you're like Jesus Christ, because
mm-hmm.
they definitely didn't hold back in the real terms, but in the show they're like hey let's not do this.
Yeah. So we also have Clone Wars Season 4, I believe. I've not seen any Clone Wars.
Some episodes are really good. It's some the fighting in it is kind of cheesy for the first two seasons,
well, actually,
but they ramped it up.
It's season 5, actually.
I think also is the series over yet?
I think when Disney bought Star Wars, and they kind of like put the kibosh on Clone Wars, and then they're focusing on that new Star Wars Rebels show.
I see. Yeah, because like. I dislike the idea of them continuing the Clone Wars because it's the weakest of the stories, mm-hmm. but like it's actually pretty important between episodes 2 and 3.
And they're adding like a bunch of like crazy, like Darth Maul came back as like a mecha spider Darth Maul and stuff.
Yeah, like
and,
they just kept inserting weird
and,
stories,
like like cowboy bounty hunter and like the Mandalorians and like all this other crazy stuff.
Mandalorian's actually pretty important, but instead of explaining that like right off the bat, they wait like I think 2 seasons to kind of introduce that. Mm-hmm. So. The pacing's terrible, because they just, like, milk. There's certain episodes where they milk.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
So, also Maniac is out this week. The remake of the 80s slasher classic with Elijah Wood. The big thing is, like...
Trailer looks creepy.
And the big thing is, like, a lot of it is, like, shot from his point of view. In the Mouth of Madness out this week with Sam Neill. I think, was that a John Carpenter movie? Yep, it was. I believe that's the one where, like, isn't, like, I think, like, Sam Neill's, like, an author, and then, like, his, like, book is, like, he's trying to write a book, and, like, it's, like, making him, like, go insane.
It's what happens when you start writing.
Yeah. we have The Haunting, which is the original, not the Liam Neeson remake.
With Vincent Price.
Yep. Weird Science, the I think it's like 25th anniversary edition or something. Kevin Hart, Let Me Explain, his like his latest stand-up special, which actually was in theaters. The Fall, which is stars Gillian Anderson, and it was like a I think it was BBC. It was like a BBC like miniseries or like a crime show where it's like she was like investigating like the serial killer.
Okay.
I think it's on Netflix too, as well, if you want to check it out. It's been on Netflix for like a while before it came out on DVD. I've heard really good things about it, like AV Club, like a bunch of other places were talking about how good it was. Also, Slapshot on Blu-ray, which I think it's been on Blu-ray before, but I guess it's like a new release or something.
And they're going to release the whole trilogy, because there's like three Slapshot movies, I think.
The Colony is out this week, which is a indie sort of sci-fi movie with Lawrence Fishburne and Bill Paxton.
I saw no marketing for that.
It's like a new like ice age happens, and like it's kind of like these people like they're trying to survive, and like they get like this stress call from they're in a bunker or something. They get the stress call from another place, so they go investigate it, and then like horrible things happen. Gravity Falls, Six Strange Tales is out this week, which I don't like. I hope to God they're not doing like this like
best of DVDs. Horrible,
like give us the full goddamn season.
Yeah, kids shows are prone to that. I remember SpongeBob did that when it first came to DVD, like in 2002. It was just like, hey, here's like four random episodes we liked. Hope you like them too.
Yeah. So I guess it's actually just like it's the first six episodes of the show.
Yeah, but aren't they up to like season two already?
Who's coming out next year? I think.
Wow, I remember it's like a full 20-something episodes, right?
Yeah, I mean, it took them like an entire like almost a year and a half to like release all 20 episodes, but it'd be like two episodes off for like 3 months, and then an episode and off for like a month, and then like two episodes and off for 2 months. It was like the most drawn out schedule ever.
Was it just, like, one animator? What the fuck's saying so long?
Yeah. Like, Alex Hirsch is, like, doing it all himself. But, yeah, I mean, it's got, like, the... Yeah, the first six was, like the first one where they meet, the gnomes, and then there's, like, the one with, like, the lake monster, and then one with the wax figures.
Or is that also the one with the pig, too? Is that the first six?
No, because Wiles doesn't show up to like the time travel one, which I think is like eight or nine or something like that.
Because I remember we watched like four episodes back to back at Brian's wedding, and then I remember like for the longest time, yeah, for almost 5 months, it was only the same like seven episodes for like on demand and shit.
Yeah.
So you weren't. I was just watching them over and over again.
Mm-hmm. The best episode is not on this set, though, which is the Fight Fighters episode, where they, like,
bring
the real-life Street Fighter character into, like, the real world.
Did he kill your father?
Rumble McSkirmish. Did he kill your father?
I'm surprised no one cosplayed as him in New York Comic
Con. Oh, my God, that would have been amazing.
It would have been, like, really vague, because it's,
I'm surprised no one just, like, someone should, like, cosplay, like, Uncle Stan or something.
Pretty easy.
Yeah.
All you do is get a suit that's too
suit
small
and, fez,
and like a fez. Yeah.
And like a,
and like a cane.
And an eye patch. And then you're, yeah. And like a cane with like an eight ball on it.
We missed our calling, Zach.
Yeah. What if Alex, was Alex Hirsch there?
I think not. I don't think he was there.
Also this week we have Defiant Season 1.
Yeah, watch it eventually.
It was solid.
It's basically
a space western.
Yeah, because like I'm a fan of like Firefly. This is kind of like Firefly Plus, where it's like the same concept, but now with more aliens.
Yeah, I think everyone wanted this to be like the new Firefly. It wasn't like, it's not quite up to that level, but it's still pretty solid, and it's got like the same sort of concept where it's like this like frontier town, and like, and then but with like, all these like crazy aliens living there, and like there's a bunch of like typical like Western sort of scenarios. Like there's like a mine in town that like is like being fought over, and like bandits come in and stuff.
I missed the chance to play the game where if you affect the game really well, like they put your name in the game or something, or they reference you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of cool, but now it's like, yeah, what happens between seasons? Like, do you still keep playing and like it affects the story?
Mm-hmm. No idea.
And then last thing on this week is Birdemic 2, The Resurrection, which is the official sequel to Birdemic. Shock and awe.
Never seen the whole thing, first movie.
Oh my god. You have to...
Like, it's on my to-do list.
You have to see it, Chris.
It's on my to-do list.
It's like Troll 2 or The Room or any of those other movies. Like, you just have to experience it. Oh my god. And if you can, like, watch the Riff Tracks for it are amazing, but even without Riff Tracks, it's just like... Like, just like jaw-dropping about how awful it is. Like, the 10-minute, like, dance sequence. And, like, it's like the back of, like, a convenience store or something. Or, like, it's, like, abandoned, like, barbecue joint. It's insane. So, yes, that's it for releases this week. So, when we get into, show and tell, and, we'll talk about our big New York Comic Con trip, Chris.
Okay.
So we were there all 4 days of it, Thursday through Sunday last week. Actually, on Thursday, we actually watched two movies. We had a couple screenings to go to. So we saw Dear Mr. Watterson, which is a documentary about Calvin and Hobbes.
It was very interesting.
Yeah, it started out really super. Like, it got into, like, the history of Calvin Hobbes and, like, how Bill Watterson, like, made it and, like, how he came up to the idea and everything and, like, how it got started. And it seemed like the movie was, you know, like, building up to, like, the director of the movie, like, meeting Bill Watterson and, like, talking to him, but it never happened.
Yeah,
it turned, like, this weird, like, comics are dying and newspapers are dying and it's awful. Kind of, and then I also felt like it's like the Return of the King of, like, documentaries where it had, like, five fake endings. Because it seemed like at a certain point, like, it had, like, this, like, it was like, all right, he's given, like, the thesis statement of the movie and then we're going to wrap it up. And then, like, it's like, fades to black. And then the movie comes back in with more, like another like 20 minutes of like more talking to like comic artists and stuff about how comics are fading.
Like it's a cool concept. It was a cool like setup of talking to these other comic book artists and all these people who, you know, got affected by it.
Yeah.
But then the fake out's really kind of like, oh, I think it's over. I guess I cut up. Nope, can't put on my coat yet. It's not over.
Yeah. It's like will we ever see a comic like Calvin Hobbes again? Fade to black, and it's like. My favorite Calvin Hobbes sketch is like
the transition.
Oh my
sucked.
God!
It was either like loud comic book noises. Like I remember, like between topic translations, it would go to like the show you images of the woods, and then like certain passages,
yeah.
And then the writing.
Yeah.
And I was like, ah, like this is just another chapter, and it kept on going.
Like, and definitely, like, those quotes are, like, a fake-out suit, because it's like, oh, they're going to end on a Bill Watterson quote, okay. And then it just keeps going. But there's definitely some cool stuff in it, like, you got to see, like, super early, like, pre-Calvin Hobbes cartoons from Bill Watterson, and, like a bunch of, like, fan stuff that have been created over the years, and, like, talking to, like, some of the people who, like, super fans of Calvin Hobbes.
Yeah, like, they grabbed, like, celebrities. They grabbed
Seth Green.
Famous. They grabbed, like, famous comic book artists who were, like, rivals at the time.
Yeah.
I did enjoy, like, the mystery. Again, like I said, like, they built it up to seem like, oh, I'm going to interview Bill Watterson. But
cause that was, like,
they never
it was,
do.
Like, it was like he was, like, going on, like, the trail of, like, starting in his hometown and, like, getting clues, like, where he is now and, like, going off to, like, Los, like, wherever he flew off to be in the movie. And then it's, like...
I mean, when we got the synopsis of it, like, the little briefing, it says, yeah, he's not going to be there. This movie's actually not going to feature him. And they don't. Like,
yeah.
He is just, like, this missing person. I feel like they're talking about him like he's dead. Like, this is years later.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's good.
It's definitely, for Kevin Hobbs fan, definitely worth checking out.
Yeah.
And then, when we got to Comic-Con proper, we actually got into... seeing, like, the world premiere of Necessary Evil, which is DC Comics, their documentary about all their supervillains.
Which I really enjoyed.
Yeah, I thought it was definitely super well done. I would say, like, if you want to, like, find out more about basically every single villain in the DC Universe, like, this is the movie to watch, because they basically go into every single villain in the DC Universe.
Yeah, they definitely give you, like, a Cliff Notes,
yeah,
like, intro. That's really well done, and well animated.
Even some, like super, like, who they talk about that was, like, kind of obscure, like, who's that, who's the Superman villain? Who's, like, the troll?
The Z's and Y's?
Wait, are you talking about, they didn't talk about him, Chris, Mixelix Pixelix?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, but no.
No. It was like the guy who said, like, oh, I just want, like, I forget who talked about him, but, like, we already had, like, the smart Superman villain, so we just want, like, one who's, like, is able to fight him, like, one-on-one.
Oh, like, the actual physical guy who beats him?
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, that's Doomsday.
No, there was another guy that was, like, just brute force. Talk about that guy? The guy that was, like, a brute.
Yeah.
I forgot.
I don't know. I'll look it up while we're talking. Mongol.
I guess. It was just like a tiring day for me, so I kind of zoomed in and out, like,
yeah.
Consciousness.
Well, yeah, I mean, they talk about, like, the Flash Rogues and, I mean, obviously Lex Luthor and the Joker and a bunch of other villains, but they get into, like, they go, like, Man-Bat and, like Black Manta and, like, all these other, like, kind of like B-level villains. Like, they actually go in, like, B and C-level villains as opposed to, like, just talking about, like, it could have been, like, all just, like, Lex Luthor and the Joker, basically. It could have been the whole movie, and then it probably would have been fine. But
they kind of just ultra-analyze those two or three, you know, any top tier.
Yeah.
But they go through a lot of people.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I don't know who this is, because, again, my forte is Marvel, and their origins are kind of simple. This is, like, way too deep about the origins.
And it was narrated by Christopher Lee, which is pretty awesome. And it's, like, basically they go into, like, what makes a villain, and, like, different origins that villains could have. Like, there's, like, this mad scientist, the monster. And then they go into, like, different characters, like, of those, and it's, like, also, like, how the villains relate to heroes and stuff, and, like, what makes a good villain, and all this other... It talks to, like, pretty much everyone in DC, like, Jim Lee and, why am I blanking on, like, DC artists right now?
they talk to, like, the Batman animated series creator.
Yeah, Paul Dini,
They talk to
Jeff Johns. They actually talk to, like, Michael Shannon and stuff for a little bit.
Yeah,
they're talking about when they get to Zod. They talk about, like, Michael Shannon talks about Zod for a little bit. I was a little surprised they didn't talk to Mark Hamill.
Yeah, they didn't talk to, like, any of the other, like,
Clancy. They talked to Clancy Brown a lot because he played Lex Luthor in the animated series. And they talked to
that British woman who's like every other yep. like woman.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
If you're like, if you're not Tara Strong, you're this woman.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, definitely if you want to like find out more, if you want to basically get like the, yeah, what's it, like cliff notes of like every DC supervillain or like every pretty much every major DC supervillain, like this is basically definitely a movie to watch because they go into like maybe like a good sort of overview of everybody who's evil in the Marvel and the DC universe. So I think it's coming out next week, maybe or like pretty soon, but they had a world premiere at got to go to that Thursday night, and then the other movie we got to see during at Comic Con was we got to go see a 25th anniversary screening of Akira,
which still it's aged weirdly.
Yeah,
it's definitely still not for kids.
It's like I didn't see them. I think you said you saw like a kid and like a mom with like a bunch of kids, and they left like within like 10 minutes.
Yeah, just like
probably as soon as someone got like hit in the head with a pipe during a motorcycle battle and like had their brain splattered across the pavement, like they're like, oh, this isn't a fun cartoon.
Yeah, the movie opens with a motorcycle fight, and
yeah.
That should tell you it's not going to get any better from here because this is before the psychic parts come out. Like it's
even during like the god like they're doing like this like kind of like Funimation promo reel, and they're showing parts from here where like. Someone's guts fall out of their chests and like brains are exploding. It's like, okay.
Yeah, that should be an indicator of what's going to happen. That should really tell you, hey, this isn't for kids.
Like
10 minutes in the movie, like people start getting up and leaving because they're like, oh.
I was expecting this.
It's like, we've been here for, like, we got there early, so we're there for, like, a half an hour waiting.
Yeah.
And people were just like, oh, no, like, this is not what I wanted to see. It's like a giant
flesh blob. Like, because they show basically the end where, like Tetsuo becomes, like, a giant, like, just blob monster. And people are like, what?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, if you haven't seen Akira, like, a bit, or even, like, on Sci-Fi, back when they used to play anime,
yeah.
Like, you're really missing out on, like anime culture, and to see where it's come so far, and how it's, like, integrated into, like, American society. Which is great, because this is, like, one of those films that helped promote it.
Yeah, it's, like, the first major, like, anime movie
to like, America. Yeah, to get, like, get an American debut that was, like, violent, that wasn't,
yeah.
like, Princess Mononoke, you know? Like, it wasn't a Miyazaki movie. But, yeah, it's like, grown adults are kind of, like, groaning at it. Like, oh,
yeah.
No. Like,
mm-hmm.
What? I understand the kids. I understand the parents who, like, brought their kids. But as a parent, it's like, hey, this has a rating. This isn't just, like, this is a generic cartoon. Like, it's a really violent movie.
Mm-hmm.
But what else did we see, Zach?
Well, I mean, if you go on the site, you can hear... and probably some videos going up by the time you hear this or sometime soon. Just all of our interviews we did with, like, a bunch of pretty cool people. We got to sit down with, like, Adult Swim shows. We got to sit down with Doc Hammer and Jackson Public and Matt Cenric and Brecken Meyer from Raw Chicken and, like, Kane Hornswoggle and a bunch of people from WB Films and... basically the entire cast of Dungeons & Demons, like the entire cast of Black Sails, and Ron Moore, who's doing Outlander, and we have to go to
the author of Outlander.
Yep. In press conferences for Pete Holmes' show and Mob City. We got a shout out on our camera rig from Milo Ventimiglia. And we got to get our picture taken with Pete Holmes, and you got to get your picture taken with Ron Moore. We both got a picture taken with David Descoyer.
David S. Goyer.
Yeah.
He did not. He's not going to put me in a Superman movie. Man of Steel 2.
Probably not.
No, do not. But even though they don't have a Jimmy Olsen, right? Like, I could be
yeah.
a Jimmy Olsen.
Mm-hmm. See, I mean, all the interviews are going up on the site, so definitely you check those out. We got some, I think, for the most part, some pretty awesome questions and pretty good stuff coming out of those. And. I don't know. Was there anything, like, what was. Like what cool stuff you see on the floor, Chris? I think two coolest things we saw on the floor, probably the DC like Superman suit exhibit, where they had like all the movie suits. Going back, like, back to like the Christopher Reeve suit, and then going up to like the Henry Cavill suit.
Yep, and the and the different like DC.
They had like a weird like the weird Smallville like.
No, I'm talking about like the game booth that just like had the weird like, hey, this comes out, and like Batman Arkham City Origins.
Yeah, and, like it's like here's Superman suits, and then here in this corner, this dark corner is Batman Arkham Origins, and like the other game that they had, I think it might have been like that. What's that one they're doing? It's like cross something or X something. I think it's like an MMO or like. The next, so like evolution of like DC Universe Online, it's like Xfinity or something.
No, Infinity is a League of Legends clone game.
Oh yeah, okay, yep.
I saw that in PAX, So they just kind of brought it over here.
I think the other cool thing, I mean, there's a ton of cool stuff, but like one of the coolest ones was like the Ninja Turtles booth where they had like you could basically tweet out the hashtag. For like whatever figure you wanted to try to win, and then if they pick you, you basically win that figure. But they had like basically they had columns set up for each character, and they had like just a crap load of the variant figures for each of that character. So like they had like Michelangelo, and they had like the newer like the brand, the new toys. We also had like classic toys. Like they had like Clown Mike and like Mummy Mike and like all these other like Space Mike and like all the classic Ninja Turtles figures like were all in there.
Wait, you could win those?
That's the whole thing, was like you tweet out the hashtag that was on there, and then you'd be entered to win that figure.
Oh, because I did, and I didn't win Jack.
I know you and Joe were trying to like win those like Jim Lee turtles.
Yeah, the giant steroid turtles.
So that's pretty.
But we did win something as a group.
Oh yeah, we won a signed copy of the Ron Burgundy autobiography.
Which I can't figure out how we're going to share this one book between three people in different states.
I mean, one of us will have to read it and then ship it to the next person, and then they'll have to read it and ship it to the next person.
Yeah, it's the Sister of the Traveling Book.
Yep. Well, learn life lessons from Ron Burgundy and, like, base our lives on it. I don't know, what else is cool on the floor, Chris?
We did hang out with the Digital Pip people for a bit.
Yep.
Hopefully, so maybe we can hang out.
Yeah, maybe Joe from Joe Loves Trek Movies will be on the show or do a commentary with us at some point, which would be pretty awesome.
That would be cool.
We got to talk to Steve Jackson Games about Mars Attacks. We got to talk about the guys from Mars Attacks, from Tops, who are doing the Mars Attacks Kickstarter game, or the miniatures game, which is like basically blew away. Like they wanted like $50,000, and they have like almost $500,000 at this point. Marvel had like Lola from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on the floor, so the car.
We did see Rita, what that character from Community.
Oh yeah, Shirley.
Yeah, Shirley. Yeah, like she was there, but we didn't talk to her because we were like busy. Yeah. But it's cool to see the community.
We saw a ton of people just like walk past us, and like also like the weirdest thing, the weird thing of it is like so we in the press lounge. There was a bathroom off the side, right near where you check in to go into like the interview rooms, and there was like a ton of people just like coming out and going to the bathrooms. So, like I know Chris used to like H. John Benjamin in the bathroom.
Man, we're in the same line together, and it was like
I saw
some people.
We saw like the comic book men in the bathroom, or like in line for the bathroom.
Yeah, again, it's really weird to meet people in the bathroom like that, like because it's like a narrow hallway, one way in, one way out, and you don't really want to have a conversation like right there.
Yeah,
but you're just like, hey, so it's like, I'm a fan.
So, H.M. Menu, what are you doing? You peeing or number two or?
Yeah, can I hold your hand? There's no right way to handle this, but. Just like silence. It's a man code thing, so that's part of it. And then just like, I don't want to freak him out now that I'm a stranger meeting them in the bathroom.
And then we saw like Kevin Smith come out with like his like 20-person entourage.
Oh my god. He was like being swarmed.
Yeah.
He was like being photographed and interviewed. Well, it was crazy. It was
insane because like he came out with like his 20-person entourage, and then like the rest of the comic book men came out, and they had like no one. It was just them.
No one.
Yeah.
Which I was like, oh, one day they'll be famous, I hope.
Yeah. We saw BJ Novak just like standing off to the side.
Really close.
Yeah, like he was at like right next to the table, but like doing some sort of TV interview or something or some other interview.
I'm surprised I didn't freak out and just refer to his character from The Office and just yell at
him. Ryan!
Ryan, what are you doing here?
Fire guy!
I just want to get delusional, couldn't tell reality from fantasy.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we had to go on a mission for Jerry Only
Jerry
and the
Only.
Misfits. Which was like
that was, kinda cool.
That was probably the craziest thing we did all of Comic-Con probably.
Yeah, it's the most random thing. Yeah. Like, hey, can you help me deliver this package to this comic book artist in Artist Alley?
That was on Friday because Joe had to leave on Saturday and he wasn't here Saturday or Sunday. But like, so Friday he apparently came in like he came on the train and then walked in to, like five blocks Comic-Con with Jerry Only and they talked for a little bit and then we went to visit him at his booth. And he's like, hey, can you guys deliver this poster? It's like gigantic, like probably $500 poster to this guy, the artist in Artist Alley. So we're basically walking through Comic-Con with like this giant poster box. And we get to Artist Alley, and the artist who painted it is like, oh, here, let me sign something so you can give it back to Jerry. So we're like, okay. So we bring
him. I guess we have to go all the way back now.
Yep, to the fireway back through the crowds, back to the Misfits booth. And then and Joe was trying to like hint or kind of say like, can we do a quick interview? And then Jerry's like, oh, why don't you come to my studio or like what was it like?
Come to my road show. Come on, like join me at any of my shows in the tour.
Yeah.
For the Misfits 2003 fall tour. We're like, what?
Yeah. So you and Joe got all access passes to the Misfits shows.
Again, a little like, oh. We just want an interview. We just want, like, a photo interview. But
yeah, like, a quick,
like
5-minute interview, just, like, what you're doing at Comic-Con, like, what's up and stuff, and maybe talk about, like, maybe horror movies or something. And then he's like, oh, you had, like, come to my studio or come to the show or, like, hang out at
the
tour bus. Or
backstage. Yeah. And I'm like, oh,
it's my personal number. It's just like, okay, new best friend Jerry Only.
Hey, Jerry, let's talk about when you hung out with Sid Vicious.
So, yeah, so that was pretty awesome. And then, I don't know, what else? What do you think was, like, the best cosplay? Because, like, there's a ton of cosplayers there, so.
You know what I missed that was, like,
it was kind of weird? Like, it's, like, that I realized after, like, looking through the pictures and stuff. It seems like Black Widow has replaced Slave Leia. Did you notice that, Chris?
I was gonna say, no, not Black. Black Cat.
I think I saw one Slave Leia the entire time we were there.
I saw like no. I think Black Cat is the next one. Like I've seen so many Black Cats.
Yeah, probably Black Cat or Black Widow. One of those.
Well, because like girls without the proper body just like fit into like a cat suit, and then I'm something, and it's like, oh, good for you. But Slave Leia, like, you kind of have to have, like, a little bit of, like...
You have to be in shape.
You gotta be a little bit in shape, yeah. But, again, if you can fit into, like, a jumpsuit, you can be Black Cat or Black Widow. Mm-hmm. And just put on a wig.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of, like, some of the more, like, the cooler ones.
We did see that Scorpion that's, like... famous now, where like they put he looks like the new Mortal Kombat Scorpion, and he has the hook
coming off, which we're like, how do you like not stab someone in the face with that at some point?
Like, that thing was giant, like the hook part was a solid piece of like something
plastic,
and it had attached to his hand, so like that hand you can't use, like you hold like a cup, but you can't like open a door.
Mm-hmm. I thought that Mr. T was pretty impressive.
Yep. Apparently, he's always Mr. T from what I saw. Uh-huh. I saw another picture of him from last year where like he was another version of Mr.
T. He had like the giant dumbbells like he had this year too.
Yeah.
And then like,
but he was a different costume.
He walked past, and he was doing like a 10-minute like just like rant monologue to a camera.
Monologue to a rap.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really impressive.
Yeah. Like, I jibber-jabbing fool, who come out here, I jibber-jabbing, I jibber-jabbing. It was like 10 minutes of solid, just like, Mr. T jibber-jabber. There was that group that was like pretty much every single X-Man.
Like the 90s red and yellow X-Men. Mm-hmm. The blue and yellow, yeah. There was just like a giant stranger mob of people that like all dressed similar, and they did a giant photo op. A couple times, mm-hmm. which is kind of cool. Again, so the best cosplayer that I saw online that was there, which I didn't see, was the Chinese robot, the Typhoon one. Someone dressed like that robot from Pacific Rim.
Oh my god, I didn't see that. Well,
I know, but like online, I saw it's there. It was like it's a really elaborate, and it's like. Huh. Like, it looks like the Godzilla scaling where, like, he put it on.
Yeah.
But he had all the arms, and it was just, like, some dude walking around, like, taking a break.
Crimson Typhoon!
Yeah, it's like, oh, wow. And I give credit to that, because, like, that's not easy to build.
Mm-hmm.
There was another mob of, like, Deadpools that they all, like, met, and they're, like, going around beating up on, like, other...
There was so many Deadpools.
Yeah, but like online, there's a picture of one Deadpool, like the group of them, where like they went around like picking on other like regular cosplayers mm-hmm. as Deadpool. So it's pretty awesome. Like there's this clip, there's this picture of them like beating up on a Spider-Man, like one Spider-Man. And there's like 10 Deadpools.
Mm-hmm. There's a couple really good Doc Ocks, and there's one really good like Inspector Gadget that we saw when we first got there. Remember that one, Chris?
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah,
I remember saying something kind of racist, but because I was a minority, like no one said anything.
It's fine. It's like it's fine.
It's fine. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. I mean. What do you think was the best interview that we did, Chris?
For my money, it has to be the WWE Sokola sisters, where we just asked them like all the like things like everyone's kind of thinking, like, oh, what do you do? What's your favorite horror? What mm-hmm. do you like to do? Like, why do you like to write about this? Because it got really personal, and like they're really fun to talk to.
Yeah, they came around and hugged everyone.
Oh man, it was like the Sunday, so it's like the last day. Last day for like everything.
Yeah.
In the morning, early afternoon.
Yeah, it was noon.
So like everyone's relaxed. You could just say whatever because at this point, like the day's over.
Yeah.
Kind of like Comic-Con's coming to close, but like they took their time to be like courteous, so they weren't
everyone,
like rushed.
Like, to, Kane oh. shook everyone's hand and like Zach
Hogswoggle.
Well, like I can't remember Zach, whatever his name is, the director of Leprechaun. Like high fived everyone and everyone from WWE Field was like super super cool.
Yeah, like that was I was kind of surprised because I imagine them being a little irritated, you know, but they were very like courteous and chill, which I was like, oh,
he's a major cinephile.
Oh my god, he's also like a major horror nerd.
Yeah,
which like really threw me for a
spiral. His favorite
movie
is Silence of the Lambs.
He's really inspired by Buffalo Bill
and Frank Dollarhide from Red Dragon.
Yep.
Hornswoggle wants to be in the Muppet movie, which is kind of cool. Which I say, get on that, Disney.
I know. Get your chance.
Yeah.
This guy wants it.
I thought the Adult Swim was really cool, too. Because it wasn't like, you weren't making a lot of info, it was just like it was just like Doc Hammer and Jax Pulver were like, just like going off like 5-minute rants about like people having treadmills and like not using them in their houses and like what Johnny Quest was like old school, like why they chose Johnny Quest like the starting point, and then like how new Johnny Quest sucks.
Yep.
I mean, that was cool. We asked those questions, yeah. But it wasn't like, let me know about your show. What's your favorite moment? They were very, like, ranty,
yeah.
And I love it. It was chaos.
Mm-hmm. It seems like they're always like that. Like, whenever they do a panel, they, like, never talk about it. It's always just, like, questions right now.
I feel like if we ever, like, got a chance to talk to them privately, like, the conversation would go on for hours.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, it was just overall just super, super awesome.
Well, let's remind the listeners that this was like our first like major celebrities that were
covering
there.
As press as everything action. So that was pretty awesome. And first,
plus, we didn't have professional equipment. We had like homemade rigs,
yeah.
Which was awesome. We had like the simplest budgeted items.
And it still can't, I think it worked out pretty good. So
it did.
Also, first time we were all together in real life. Because I had never met Joe in real life before that last weekend. We'd only ever talked on the podcast over the internets.
True.
That was pretty like just going out to dinner and like getting drinks every day was pretty awesome. Bullet whiskey? bourbon or whiskey?
Bullet bourbon.
Yeah, bullet bourbon in honor of Stallone. And that was like our bullet to the head tribute.
Hmm.
So keep checking this. Come back. By the time you hear this, everything should be up on the site or coming up on the site pretty soon. There's already a ton of audio interviews, or all the interviews are getting put out as separate podcasts. We're gonna try to get a massive like photo post up from all the pictures we took because we took a ton of photos at the show of just like cosplayers and like crazy exhibits and all sorts of other stuff. So
hey, listeners, we might have a picture of you somewhere.
Yeah. So Comic-Con was just. Awesome. I'm sure we'll definitely be there next year. Hopefully. maybe better plan, better equipment. Now we know kind of what we're doing. So, outside of Comic-Con, was there anything else you did or saw, Chris? I think you said you saw Immortals, finally.
I did see Immortals, finally, yeah, on Netflix. It was like, hey, you just went through Comic-Con, see something action-y. And I was like, yep, okay.
It's like, you just went to Comic-Con. How about a drunk Mickey Rourke?
Like, if you told me Mickey Rourke was drunk every day when he was on set, I could believe that.
Mm-hmm.
He basically is that weird monologue from Expendables, the Tool monologue, character.
Like, three different times in the movie, at least.
Yeah, and
I think my favorite one is like when he's like crushing like the peaches or like crushing those fruits, and like the trader guy shows up. He's like, "I want to join you," and he's like, "You're a coward. I'm gonna take this hammer and smash your balls."
So you can't have kids.
Yeah.
So your kids would be my kids.
And I'm gonna scar your face. Okay. Yeah, the whole thing was like, every kid in the world is gonna be my kid. I'm gonna bang the whole world.
I didn't quite understand what Mickey Rourke's like goals were. Like release the Titans and then be king? Like how? Wouldn't the Titans
whole thing is like, he just wanted to kill the gods because like his wife and daughter got killed. He's like,
which you don't even see.
Cool books are dead, Chris.
Well, I'm saying like, you don't even see the flashback or anything.
I prayed to the gods and they weren't there, so now I'm gonna kill the gods. I'm gonna wear crazy masks too. His helmets are amazing in that movie. Like, I think the best one is like that one where it's like it kind of looks like a crab claw, or like a insect claw.
Yeah, and he's like,
and it has like a weird like face mask thing on it.
Is it the one with the edges around his face?
Yeah, I think
or is
yeah.
That another one.
It's got like spikes around his face. So it's like he's in the mouth of like a weird bug.
It's really random too.
Yeah.
Because it's like it serves no purpose. His army is weird.
Yeah. He has like weird like he's got like the hawk guy and the dog guy and like Minotaur guy.
Well, Minotaur guy, I understand, because that's actually part of the myth.
Yeah.
But, like, part I don't get is him killing off all his men. Just like, hey, die. Like, it's like, you know, it's like,
boss, I have some bad news. They got away. All right. Dead.
Yep.
I believe in killing the messenger after every message.
That's terrible for morale. Yeah. Like, oh, if we don't kill these people, the morale bad, but you keep killing your people, the morale always going to be bad.
And then, like, I mean, there are some pretty awesome, like, fight scenes in it and some pretty good, like, it's solid, like, 300 light action. And, I mean, the last, like, 5 minutes where it's, like, Gods vs. Titans, like, that is, like, one of the best scenes of that year. Because, like, it's super, like, it's this super awesome, like, they kind of, like, take the 300 slow-mo to, like, the next level where it's, like, every time the gods hit someone, that it's, like, they go slow-mo, but everything else is the same, which is kind of awesome.
Not explained, but okay, I'll take it.
Yeah, so, like Zeus or someone, like, hit one of the Titans, and, like, they'll hit them and hit them in the air, and then they'll be going in slow motion. So then they get, like, the gods come up, can, like, set up, like, another, like, killing blow and, like, take them down. It's, like, it's insane, too, because it's, like, basically, like, we've been following Henry Cavill for the entire movie, and it's, like, he has basically no effect for the end. It's just, like, Zeus comes out and is, like, go kill Mickey Rourke, we'll handle this, even though we can't. Because Mickey Rourke basically, like, he basically achieves what he set out to do, which is free the Titans.
Yeah, he actually finishes his goal, and then, what's, like, the vision with, like, him and Mickey Rourke being, like, BBFs? And the Oracle's mine.
Yeah,
remember
so
that? Which is like,
yeah.
Oh, you're gonna be friends.
Yeah.
I was like, so that doesn't happen
gotta,
at all.
Like join him or something. It's like, why in God's name would he join him? Like, he like slit his mom's throat.
Yeah, I was like, they didn't even explain that. They're like, yeah, now that vision's really false.
Yeah. But yeah, it was. Definitely worth checking out on Netflix. It's a good, like if you're a fan of 300 and wants a little bit, like, something similar to that, but, or, like, to, like, buy, like, until, like, 302 comes out next year, like, Immortals is a pretty solid choice.
Yeah.
Anything else, Chris?
No, that's about it.
Right, well, before we headed out for Comic-Con, I actually saw two movies. I saw Gravity, which was as amazing as I'm sure you've heard it is, because pretty much everyone is basically saying it, like, the best movie of the year, or, like, top, like, one of the best movies of all time. Definitely, if you have a chance to see it in 3D, and, like, see it in the biggest screen you possibly can, because it's pretty amazing. Like, just, like, I don't know how they shot it, or, like, because it's, like, I think, like, 90% of it is CG, but it doesn't feel like CG. It just feels real. Like, it just feels like you're in space. Like, it's basically like if you've seen, like, an IMAX movie about, like, the International Space Station or, like, the Hubble Telescope or something. Like, imagine that kind of, like, IMAX style movie, but then the space station or, like, the telescope blows up, and that's basically what's going on with Gravity. And Sandra Bullock is actually pretty amazing in it too. I haven't been the biggest fan of her recent stuff, but, like, in this, she is pretty secure as the entire movie. It's basically like her, like, Castaway or 127 Hours, where it's basically just her for the entire movie. Because Clooney's there, but then he kind of like they get separated about halfway through the movie, and then it's all basically all Sandra Bullock.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I mean, and it's just, like, the way it's shot is just, like, ridiculous. And there's, like, these just insane, like, sequences where, like, she's, like, trying to, like, they're, like, basically, like, careening toward, like, the International Space Station. And they have to, like, try to just grab onto, like, anything to, like, keep themselves from, like, floating off into space. and like crashing into like they're crashing into like I don't know, like wings and stuff, and like different sections trying to scrap stuff, and they do, and it feels like super realistic because there's a lot of times like there's no sound, and or the only sound is like what you can hear from like the suit, like the pressure in the suit is the only sound you can hear, and it's just, and then like just like the physics and like a lot of the stuff feels like super authentic. There's a lot of awesome like first person like inside the helmet shots as well. That it basically like makes you like just makes you feel like you're like right there in space with them. So yeah, so I'd say like if you can see it in 3D, in like on a giant screen, like I'm sure you're you'd probably be like blown away by it. And it's definitely like I would say definitely in my top five for this year. I don't know like specifically where it would be, but definitely top five. And then the other thing I saw before Comic-Con, I saw Metallica Through the Never, which is also 3D, also pretty fantastic 3D. And I mean, it's basically a concert movie. It's, they did a bunch of concerts last August, which where they had like the, I guess it's like the largest stage ever constructed for a concert tour. It's just like this like gigantic like I don't know if it's like football field side, but it's like just ridiculously huge stage where like all sorts of stuff like comes out of it and comes into it, and like they have like gravestones coming up and like a giant Statue of Liberty like a, or like Justice coming up and then like crumbling on stage and like electric chair coming down from the ceiling and like getting actually electrocuted with Tesla coils. So just like crazy like larger than life crazy Metallica concert. But there's also this sort of B thing story going on where like Dane DeHaan from Chronicle is like their roadie, and he gets sent out to like collect this mysterious like basically a truck breaks down with like a object in need for the concert. So Dane DeHaan has to like go out and like find this truck and get the package back to the concert. And then basically this like riot breaks out in the middle of the city. It's kind of like if like this like the closest like a Metalocalypse movie we'll ever get possibly, because like basically the Metallica show is so awesome that like this riot's breaking out, like Death Fox style, where you know if you go to like a Death Fox show, you have to like basically sign a waiver that you if you get killed you can't sue.
Really, that's actually part of the movie.
Well, I mean that's like death, like what they do on Metalocalypse. Like if you go to a Death Clock show, you have to like sign the death waiver or whatever. But like, I mean, it's kind of got that thing. Like, it's like basically like in the beginning, like all the members of Metallica are like introduced as like basically superheroes. Like they have like this like ridiculously like intro sequence where like their bass player is like in this room full of speakers and like it's like vibrating the entire room, and James shows up in like a souped up hot rod with like shooting out flames, and like everyone else comes in like kind of like over like embellishments of like how awesome they are. And then yeah, it's just like, and then like this riot, and then yeah, this riot breaks out, and then like there's like a horseman chasing after like Dane DeHaan, and then like there's like this massive like fight between the cops and the rioters. But it's kind of like I was a little disappointed. Like I was a little disappointed by the like fake stuff, because the concert is actually like you go from like the concert, which is like already over the top, and just feels like kind of feels like a little like I don't know, extraneous or something. The fake stuff, because it's like, all right, I mean this is cool, but let's get back to the concert because that's the actual cool thing going on. And it doesn't really,
well, the marketing made it seem like it was all about the roadie, and yeah. It's like, oh yeah, and it's, now that'd be Metallica.
Basically, it kind of serves as like transitions between songs. Like while I was singing up next song, you come back to like Dane DeHaan and look around, and it doesn't really, the song that's playing during like those scenes, it's kind of weird because it doesn't really have any sort of like thematic or like relationship like what's going on. I mean, a couple times they kind of like sync up. Like there's a part when they do the intro for like Cyanide, and the cops are like banging their shields and like kind of like in conjunction with the drums. So that's like it syncs up that way. But a lot of times it's just there. Like the song, Metallica song, is just there to make it seem cooler. Like, oh man, we got this fight scene. Now what? Now let's put like Metallica behind it to make it seem more awesome.
I think the whole time I would have been like, "Hey, Chronicle Man, use your Chronicle powers."
He should have. He does like set himself on fire at one point and like tries to fight off people that way. And also, it's very, very, very early on. Like you basically find out it's probably all in his head. So that kind of makes like those scenes seem like not really necessary as well, or just like kind of extraneous. As far as the concert stuff goes, the concert is awesome. Like, if you're a fan of Metallica, you should definitely go check it out in 3D, because it's like 3D. Like, 3D makes it feel like you're actually like literally on stage with Metallica. And they basically go through like pretty much every title track from every album, so like you could hear like Enter Sandman and Injustice for All and Ride the Lightning and all pretty much every major hit you'd expect from Metallica is they play it during the show. So and also Walking Dead is back too. I saw the season 4 premiere. That's pretty awesome. Very creative, like very inventive, like zombie attack that you haven't really seen before. They do in the episode, which is pretty crazy. I don't want to spoil it because I'm sure people haven't seen it yet. Or I know you're like 2 seasons behind, Chris, but.
Are they out of the city yet?
Well, they're in the prison, so.
I read the comic. Like, I kind of get the idea of it.
It's so far away from the comic now, Chris. Like, you can't. There's going to be, like, very, very, like, basic beats of from the comic, I think, now. But, like, they have so many, like, original characters that weren't in the comic at all now. And they've killed off a bunch of, like, the comic characters. And things have not even, like, the way the prisons went in the comic is, like, nowhere, not even close to what's happening in the show. So, like, it's split itself off, I think, from the comic a lot now. So you can't, I don't think you can base yourself, like, if you've read the comic, you can't, like, predict where the show's going. Not like Game of Thrones, where, like, there's some changes, but I think Game of Thrones is kind of, it's definitely following, like, the plot of the book more. Walking Dead is, like, I think it's kind of, like, split off now. And it's, like, kind of, like, its own thing. Yeah, definitely, definitely, like a very awesome, like, premiere. It was kind of like Mad Men, or, like, yeah, Mad Men style, where it's, like, it picks up, like, I think it's a month after the last season ended, and you have to figure out where everyone is. Because it's like there's been like a month where you haven't seen these characters, and then there's like a bunch of stuff that's happened since then. It's like you kind of like pick up as the episode goes along. So yeah, so that's all I've been watching for this since around Comic Con. So I think it's gonna do it for this week's show. Unless there's anything else you can think of, Chris.
Yeah, we covered a lot, and yeah. I didn't watch. I'm so behind ever since like Breaking Bad came back into my life. So like Walking Dead, I know that's the next thing I gotta watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you want more from us, you can go to www.everythingaction.com. Like we said, all the Comic-Con interviews and videos and photos are going up on the site within, if not this week, then next week. So probably by the time you listen to this, hopefully most of everything will be up. Find us on Facebook, facebook.com/everything.action, twitter.com/evaction, everythingaction.tumblr.com, email us at contact@everythingaction.com. You can find us on iTunes by searching for Everything Action. You can subscribe to the podcast on there. Also get our commentaries and also get our special round review podcast where we talk about a specific movie. You can also get our app on there, which is free for your iPhone or iPod Touch. And you can check out news stories on there and also listen to the podcast on there. You can stream us or download us on Stitcher, Stitcher.com, and search for Everything Action. You can they have an app for pretty much every mobile device you can think of. So you can also download the Stitcher app and get us in there. And I think that's it. So for Chris, I'm Zach, and we'll see you next week.